What a privilege it is to be standing before you this. It's a privilege to be standing at all, but it is a privilege to stand before the saints this morning. You know, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and the scripture teaches when two or more are gathered in the midst, he's there. He is present. So Jesus Christ himself, our shepherd, is here this morning. Amen? Amen. So thank you. What a great joy it is to be here. And we love Chris and Jill and the whole family. We've, as Chris said, we've known them for about 15 years, and this has been a great privilege. This church has been a blessing to us. I have been prayed over. We have been prayed over. I have been anointed by oil here a number of months back. And again, God is doing glorious work. This morning, I want to make three basic points. I want to give a little bit of history. History, his story. This is what my journey is all about. This is his story. I just get to be a vessel that he uses to be magnified and glorified. And I'm telling you, I'm ecstatic about what he does. I stand here in the perpetual state of blown-mindedness because it's almost like daily. He just reveals things to me and opens up doors. And he, you know, they sang that song this morning about the Good Shepherd. And it's interesting because one of the verses that I wanted to relate to this morning was Psalm 23. How many of us know Psalm 23? It's a famous passage. A lot of us probably knew it before we were even saved. I was looking this week. It was interesting because my dad was called home to glory in June of 2017. And on the back of his memorial card was Psalm 23. So, for those of you, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. If not, it should be on the screen. If not, I'll just read it. It's pretty simple. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And the idea is, I shall not lack any good thing. He leads me to fresh pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm here as a living testimony to that promise. I will fear no evil. I will fear no cancer. Whatever Satan tries to bring against me, it's sometimes like Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You have no power here," right? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." Oil is oftentimes used as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. I'll take the Holy Spirit poured out on me all day long. Yeah. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." History, a little bit about my story. Most of you know it, some of you don't, and I'll just share it as briefly as I can. Back in 2013, I was diagnosed with stage 3 brain cancer. I had a craniotomy and a tumor removed. Up till this point, I now have had 4 surgeries. 3-4 months ago, my wife Linda and I flew out to Arizona. I had another surgery out there. The reason for that, I was being treated at a different hospital, and they kept coming back. They weren't sure on the scans that were showing up whether they were seeing tumor or perhaps scar tissue from previous surgeries. And I thought, well, if you're not certain, it doesn't make me feel real warm and fuzzy. But we knew, regardless of what type of treatment I would need, there's a facility in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's called Invita Medical Clinic. They are using protocols and modalities that they've been using in Europe for decades. And Linda really did a lot of the research on them, and we went online and checked them out. really prayed about it and said, I think this is where God is leading us. So like the good shepherd, he did. He led us out to Invita. So we knew we were going to Invita. One morning before I got out of bed, I literally pray before I get up in the morning, but before my feet hit the ground, I was praying and I said, Lord, you know we're going to Phoenix area. Please find me a surgeon there. I was anticipating that I would need surgery. Before I got out of bed, before my feet even hit the ground, I promise you, a banner flew across my brain and all it had was the name Peter on it. Clear as a bell. Peter. I got up and I Googled neurosurgeons in Phoenix, Arizona. I came up with the name Dr. Peter Nakaji. Dr. Nakaji is a top neurosurgeon, works at the Barrows Brain and Spine Institute at Phoenix. It's a world-renowned organization. People from all over the world fly not only there, but also to him, to have him treat them. He was unbelievable. We made an appointment with him that day. We went out on the 14th. I think we got out there on the 14th of November. He ran some tests on me that day. He said, you're scheduled for surgery tomorrow. With that, we said, all right, praise the Lord. The next day, he operated a fine team. I've never, if there are surgeons here, I don't mean to step on your toes. I've never really met a surgeon I've really cared for, but this guy was phenomenal. His bedside manner was impeccable. He removes a tumor in my right occipital lobe the size of a tennis ball. I don't even like tennis, but nevertheless, he got it out. Praise the Lord. So through the God has woven an incredible tapestry together over the last 6 months or so, and certainly over these last 4 months when I had my visit out to Arizona, between people and places and circumstances. It's incredible what God is doing. That's why I said I stand here in perpetual blown-mindedness, because he does. He reveals things that just makes me go, yes, thank you, Jesus, because without you, I don't know how I would get through this. I'd be covered under the blankets daily, 24/7. But because of his grace, right? His grace is sufficient for me. And we walk through this, both me, my wife Linda, my daughters Emma, Kearley, and Miriam. And each of us are walking a different mountain, a different journey. And God is revealing different things to each of us along this journey. Look, we're all sojourners here. Paul tells us in Colossians, we are to set our hearts and minds on things above where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Things of this earth are temporary, right? So this is all temporary. We have a destiny, and that's a point that I'll get to a little bit later. We have a destiny, each and every one of us. Point number one, let's pray before we get started here. But point number one is if we as a body of Christ, if we are not leading people to Jesus, if we're not pointing people to Jesus, then whatever we say, whatever we do is pointless. So I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, you've touched my heart in such a way, and I believe that you have given me a story, Lord God. It's your story. It's his story. But you're revealing some things through me. And so I want to share this morning, Lord, of how you can be glorified and magnified. The name of Jesus will rise above all other names. And may you be honored this morning. May the words that I speak, I want to be here this morning, Lord, as a source of encouragement to these brothers and sisters. If there's somebody here that does not know you personally, I pray that you would touch their heart. Do a work, Lord. Tug on their heart and draw them to you, that they would experience the same love and the same mercy that you have poured out upon me. And I'm so ever grateful for that. And I thank you for the work that you will do here this morning, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd. Now, something interesting about this in the Gospel of John, and I would encourage, if you've never read the Gospel of John, I'm sure most of you have, the Gospel of John is so rich with, it really speaks to the deity of Jesus Christ and who he is, the Son of God. But I love this in John chapter 10, verse 27. You know, Jesus has in the Gospel of John, there's a number of I am statements. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd in this particular passage. one of the bummers about having this tennis ball removed from the right side of my brain, it has impacted the left side. I have no peripheral vision on my left side. So that's an interesting challenge. And I'll tell you, one of the things I really grapple with, and I grapple with it, man. And I come before on my knees to the Lord, and I just say, Lord, you know, either I'm just selfish, I get so frustrated. I bump into things, I forget, and as I bang down, I mean, I can't tell you how many times in the bathroom when I bend down, I drop something on the floor, I go to grab it, and I'll smack my head on the counter. Thank goodness I have a hard head. But and that was evident. I've had a hard head. I sat under Joe Foch at Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia for 5 years. And if anybody knows Joe Foch at Calvary Chapel, Philly, he's a pretty anointed teacher of the Word. And 5 years I sat under him, Wednesdays, Sundays, going to men's retreats and so on. And it was 5 years before I finally stood up one Wednesday night, August 21st, 1996. And my prayer that night, I stood up and I said, Lord, I want a relationship with you, Jesus. I don't want phony. I'm tired of hypocrisy. I don't want anything phony. I want to know you personally. And that's what he does. He designs personal relationship. He designed us for personal relationship. Religion is man-made. Religion comes from the Greek word relenge, which means to relink. And since the beginning of time, we've all had this desire to relink and realize that, God, there's something different. There's something bigger than me out there. You look at the universe and look at the sky and the sun and the moon and the stars. Everything that he's creation, we know that there's something that has to be majestic there. So religion, unfortunately, has been man-made, and there's been set up with rules and laws, and there's such divisiveness between religion, but there is no divisiveness in religion in relationship with Jesus Christ. He comes and wants to embrace you. So some of the things that he's been doing in me in these last 4 months that we went out to Arizona, I'm so blessed. I have a dear brother, a friend of mine, Rich McGuckin, who we've known Rich for over 40 years. Rich has been, he's lived in Scottsdale. He's been inviting me out for years, and I called him up when we knew we were going to Arizona, and he said, look, you come out and you stay with me. I said, no, this is not a weekend stay. I'm going to be out there for 8 to 10 weeks. He said, no, you come, you stay at my house. You have use of my car. I'll take you wherever you need to go, and when Linda's out there, she has use of his car to drive around. So he has been so gracious. He's opened up his heart and his home, and it is, I can't tell you what a blessing that is. The medical facility where I've been treated at, Invita Medical Center, this is a God-centered facility. Oh my goodness gracious. There are so many people. They only treat people with cancer and Lyme's disease there at Invita. And again, they're using these special modalities and processes that they've been using in Europe for years. So we felt very comfortable with that. When we get there, we find out that the whole facility was really led by the Holy Spirit. Every single morning, the top docs there, Dr. Ertley and Dr. Mathias, and others join in. They ask me to join them. They have a Bible study every morning, and they pray for each individual patient by first name. They go through every patient that's there. There must be 30 patients there. I wear one of my favorite shirts daily. Every I wash it. I do. But we did an outreach. And bless your church. I so love your church for the heart that you have that is so centered here, which is outreach to reach the lost and to point them to Jesus Christ. Again, if we're not pointing them to Jesus, then whatever we're doing is pointless. We want to point them to Jesus Christ. One of my favorite shirts I have, we did an outreach at Doylestown, at Central Park in Doylestown a couple years back, memorial of 9/11, to honor the police and firefighters and emergency responders. And it was called Hope in the Park. And on the back of my shirt, it says, Jesus Christ is our only hope. So this is like, I'm a walking billboard as I walk through the facility there. And so the beauty of that, so many people, I've met so many people there, and it's like family. It really is. There are relationships that have developed there. And we get to start up conversations there. It's so cool because I go through a bunch of, I have a port here, and I have a variety of different infusions that I take during my 5 days a week treatment there. One of the treatments, I go into an infrared sauna, and I have to sit there it's a detox method, and I sit there for about a half hour. Well, a lot of times I ask for the double sauna because usually they'll put somebody in with me, so it's a captive audience. It's awesome. And I get to find out who they are, right? Like they learn about my story, and there's relationship as had built, and we start talking about Jesus. You know, I'll turn around, I'll make sure that I'll stand up a little bit, I'll stretch a little bit, you know. You'll see that Jesus Christ is our only hope. And I usually come to find out whether or not they're believing, and we have great conversations. I led a man to the Lord. He prayed a prayer in the sauna. The sauna is like one of my favorite places. Oh my goodness, Chris, you ought to put a sauna in here. But it's pretty miraculous how God works. In spite of me, in spite of my circumstances, I've not heard him audibly, but I've heard that sense, like Chris said earlier, that I've been pressing into Jesus. And the more I do that, the more the Holy Spirit puts it on my heart and says, Michael, I have got this for you. I've got this. I've got this. I've covered this. And you know, there's a great verse that I love. There's a number of verses that I love, but two special verses that have been so poignant for me. Joshua 1:9, Joshua takes over for Moses. Moses has now died, and Joshua is leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. And God says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. Praise God. Right? If he's with us, who can be against us? So I walk boldly. Sometimes a little bit more boldly. I try to stay away from my left because I have no vision on my left-hand side. It can be a nightmare. Quick, funny story. I was coming back from Phoenix. I was at the airport, and I had my carry-on baggage with me, and I had my backpack. I was charging my iPhone before I got on the plane. I have about a half hour to get on the plane. And I look in my carry-on bag, my computer that has lots of stuff on there that I need, I forgot to pick it up when I went through the TSA check-in line. It's like back here in check-in. Oh my goodness, now I'm flipping out, and I'm literally reciting Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry, because I really want my computer. I go back through the airport, now mind you, I'm trying to walk as comfortably and as fastly as I can, realizing that I can't see anything on my left. I'm bumping into people. I should just have a thing taped to my head, I'm sorry. Because it just, I do that in a grocery store and everything else. I finally get back to where I'm supposed to be. I get my computer. Praise the Lord for that. Get my computer. All of a sudden, I look on the ground. My driver's license is lying on the ground. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I need that to travel. Thank you, Jesus. Pick up my, I get back to the plane. I'm on time. Thank you, Jordan. Thank you, Lord. I get on the plane in time, perfect. I get to my seat. Sitting in my seat, look, and I realize now I left my backpack outside where I was charging my phone. And now I'm bucking traffic. People are coming in. They're in a mad rush to get into the plane to get their seats. I'm going against the traffic. Meanwhile, I can't see anything on my left, so everybody on this side of the plane, they're dead in the water, man. I'm just bumping into them, and I'm trying to get my backpack. I've got my cards and everything else in there. Finally get back to my seat, and oh, just thank you. So, and I'm telling you, Psalm 23, I recite Psalm 23. I'm such a wussy when I have to get for an MRI and get in that tunnel. I hate claustrophobia. I don't like it. And I recite Psalm 23 every time I'm in there. So it's just so glorious to know that I can call upon the name of Jesus. You know, and I love, you know, and Bon Ren, I told Jesse and Zach that, you know, that song, I Turn My Eyes to Jesus, that is like one of my daily regimens that I listen to every morning and every night. And it's part of my own personal therapy. You know, I have a number of songs, Jeremy Camp's, there's power in the name of Jesus, right? Yeah, there is. There's great power. And I'm praying right now that if there are any here that have never asked Jesus to come into their life, that he does a work in your heart. There's nothing like knowing him. And I'm talking about knowing. Know, to know Jesus Christ means to have an intimate, personal relationship with him. And it's very different than just knowing about Jesus. You know, I grew up Catholic. And I heard about Jesus. I knew about him. I knew he died on the cross, that God sent him on the cross to die for our sins, to reconcile us back to himself. God desires that none would perish, but that all would come to eternal life. Right? Most famous passage, I guess, in Scripture, or one of the famous passages, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would never perish, would have everlasting life. This physical frame, we will all take a last breath, but this physical frame will perish. This mortal will put on immortality one day. Amen? This corruptible would put on incorruption. Oh my goodness, what a glorious day. Linda and I, we pray for 20 more years or the rapture, whatever comes first. We give all glory to God. So one of my great stories, his story again, working through me, but I walked into a clinic out in Arizona, and this woman, Chris, meets me, and she's serving me, and we're talking. I have my favorite shirt on, right? It's on the back. So we're talking, and she says, oh, where are you from? I said, Philadelphia. She said, wow, what are you doing out here? And I explained my story. I had brain surgery. I came out, they removed a tumor, I had brain surgery. And she said, you're like so up and vibrant and stuff. She says, how do you do that? And I went like this. I said, Jesus Christ is our only hope. I said, Chris, do you know him? Do you know him personally? She said, no. She said, I don't think he wants to know me. I said, why would you say he's crazy about you? She said, because I'm a lesbian. I said, what does that mean? That's a lifestyle choice. I said, I'm a heterosexual. I love my bride. I wear a wedding ring. Doesn't make me married. I just wear a wedding. It's a symbol of that. But I love my wife. But I make a choice. Life is filled with choices. We, each one of us, make choices, sometimes daily, sometimes moment by moment, right? But we all make decisions and choices. The most important decision I ever made in my life was to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior and say, I'm done. I want you in my life. Show me what you have shown so many before and what you will continue. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And if you don't know him today, if you've never asked him, one of my favorite passages as well, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus says, to all who have received and believed, he has given the right to be called children of God. You see, there's action required on our choice, there's a decision that needs to be made. We need to choose to receive the Word of God, and we need to believe upon the name of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. You know, I used to look at the Bible as, well, you know what, it's a nice book, it's a bunch of words. How do I know it's true? You know, if you get 100 people and you start something, a sentence down here, by the time you get to this end, it's not the same. So how do I know it? Well, yeah. When I became saved in 1996, I made the choice to receive Christ's salvation for me. I became a student of the Bible and decided to study Scripture. And one thing I learned about the Bible is it's true. And look, we're about to, in a couple of months from now, we're about to celebrate Easter season. Easter's not about candy and bunnies and stuff like that. It's about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:57, Paul writes, praise be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's about Jesus conquering sin and death. Sin and death have no hold over us if we belong to Christ, if we are in Christ, right? Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are chosen before God chose us before the foundation of the world. That is mind-blowing. I agree with you, yes. God chose us. He loves us. We are his workmanship to do good works in Christ Jesus. Make no mistake, he doesn't care whether you're a lesbian. He doesn't care if you're a murderer. He doesn't care the things that you've done. He doesn't care if you used to rob houses. He doesn't care what you've done. What he cares about is his children. And he says, come unto me. Jesus says, you know, for all who are burdened and weary and laden, come to me and I will give you rest. And oh my goodness gracious, he does that. Again, I don't know how I would handle stage 4 brain cancer. Stage 4. Brain cancer says, the medical word says, listen, you got 12 to 18 months. Let me tell you something. Peter writes in, or Paul rather writes in 1 Timothy 1:7. He says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Amen? Amen. That's his story. It's not mine. It's his story. When I'm out in Arizona and in Vita, one of the reasons we chose that facility, they treat each individually based on their own DNA. And it's very unique. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, it's a great chapter to look at, but in there he writes about God giving to us his divine nature. And Chris, years ago, 2013, was teaching a Saturday morning men's Bible study at a men's breakfast at Central Bucks, and he was teaching on that passage. When he taught that line, divine nature, I wrote in my Bible in big letters, DNA, divine nature always. He didn't just give us his divine nature temporarily for that morning, or, you know, it's forever. If we've received Jesus Christ, we have his, he's been infused us with his divine nature always. We have such great power. It's his power. He has empowered us. There is no fear. And I love that. I love being able to walk out this testimony for his glory, for his honor. I take, I didn't sign up for this. I have never been wigged out by this since 2013. When they said I had stage 3 brain cancer, I may have dreamt this. I thought my wife said to the doctor, that's impossible, he doesn't have a brain. But I don't think she said that. but I said, maybe I dreamt it, I don't know. But all that said, there's one more passage I want to turn to, and that is in Hebrews. Look, the other point I want to make is that 3 points. One is, if we're not pointing people to Jesus, then it's pointless. Whatever we're doing is pointless. So that's point number one. So as a church that has a heart for outreach, God bless you. We so love that. And I hope that this is a source of encouragement for you this morning. Keep on doing what you're doing, because there are people that need to be sitting in these chairs and hearing the great worship and praising the Lord and coming to know salvation through Jesus Christ. So we love what you're doing. And whether you use the Eagles to do it, how many hands do I see for Super Bowl number 2 next year? Amen. I've already put my stake in the ground for that. I don't know what that means, but it's all good. The second point is this. Turn to Genesis, if you have your Bible, and put it on the screen at Genesis 1:26. This is God speaking as the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God says, let us make man and woman in our image and likeness. I want you to turn to the person to the left of you and just say, you are made in the image of Christ. Understand that. I want to say how important that is, because I said that when I was looking at that woman, Chris, in that clinic. I looked at her and I said, when I look at you, I see Christ. She couldn't believe that. She thought she was left out in the cold because she was a lesbian. I said, no, it's a lifestyle choice. You can change that. Make a different choice if you want to. But I'm telling you, when I look at you, I see Christ. I love you. I went back to that clinic again 2 weeks later. She came up to me. She remembered who I was when I walked in. I still had my shirt on. It had been washed a couple of times since then, no doubt. But she came over. I shook her hand, gave her a hug. She said, would you please do me a favor? I said, what can I help you? She said, would you pray for me, because I'm having a surgery on Monday and I'm a little nervous about it. I said, you bet I will. I can't wait to get back there to go in. Same shirt, same guy, but hopefully a changed woman, you know? And we'll see what God does, yeah. The day before I came back to Phoenix, which was wonderful, we have nurses there that and caregivers that are just, oh gosh, they're so awesome and they're wonderful. They really are attentive to each patient. And I watch them with great care. And I've learned their names. I've learned about some of them, who they are. One of them, Naja, a girl who was actually raised in the Islamic faith, she's been caring for me for probably a couple of weeks or so. She's one of the nurses. I have about four or five nurses that attend to me. But Naja, we started talking, and Naja allowed me to pray with her, and I led her in a prayer of salvation the day before I came back here. And she said, I said, what do you believe? What do you know? She said, you know, I'm not really sure. She said, I kind of walked away from Islamic faith years ago. My mother has been going to a Christian church. And I said, oh, praise the Lord for that. She said, yeah, and I see a change in my mom. And I said, well, do you like that change? She said, yeah, I do. I said, would you like that change for you? She said, you know, I think I would. And I got to pray with her. I said, praise the Lord. Thank you for that. And, just gave her a big hug. And it's not me. It's what God is doing in and through me. I'm there for a reason. It's not just to get healed from brain. I mean, that's one reason. I would like to get healed from brain cancer as Lord. But at the same time, again, to glorify his name and to do his will. I count it a privilege. Again, I didn't sign up for this. I would have signed up for something like the flu. But look, if this is what God has given me, stage 3, stage 4 brain cancer, Lord, again, use this for your glory. So I count it as a privilege. People are blown away. They think we're actually crazy. I'll be 65 in June. My wife and I have 3 adopted daughters. My daughter Lauren, who is 37, just gave birth to our 6th granddaughter. Praise the Lord. Her name is Lydia Susan, named after my mother and my sister Sue. I told my son-in-law Mark, I said, you know, between you and I, the only mail we're going to get between us is what the guy delivers in the mailbox in the afternoon. Just surrounded by girls, and it's quite a blessing. And I'll tell you something. I have wept when I was out in Arizona, being away from my girls. There's one thing to FaceTime, talk to them on the phone, but there's one thing about being away, to hug my girls, to physically hug my girls, to snuggle with them on the couch, to look into their face. You know, at nighttime, I get on my knees in their door frames as they're in bed. I put my hand on their door frames and I just pray over them. And I've missed that. Now that I'm home, I get to do that. So what a joy and a blessing that is for me. So I'm so grateful and thankful. God allowed me to come home for Christmas. He opened a small window. I was able to come home for Christmas. I have a great video. I'm not going to show it now, but it was beautiful because I got in on a Thursday night really late or a Friday night really late. Christmas had already happened. Linda said, when you come home, you get under the Christmas tree. She covered me with a blanket. Next morning, she got the girl. She said, come on down. I've got a special gift under the tree for you. I didn't want to give it to you last night. The girls came down, and on the video, it shows them going, and I think Emma was the one. She said, Dad, I think it's Daddy. They come. Kirlie pulls the blanket over him. Daddy! Eh! And they all 3 of them jump on me and are hugging me. And it was such a great blessing. I'm so glad they didn't say, this is the present? Thank you, Jesus. I showed that video to people out in the clinic, and people would weep over that. They just thought it was so precious, and it really was. So being able to come home and to hold my girls, these precious joys, oh my goodness gracious. You know, I mentioned earlier Ephesians chapter 1, where God says, I have chosen you. And not only has he chosen us, but he's chosen us, and he's called us to adoption as sons and daughters. Adoption for us, people think we're crazy. I'll be 65 in June. Linda and I are not finished with 3. We've been praying hard for it. We believe that God has more children to bring into our home. Obviously, we don't have enough girls between Mark and I, and I don't know if it's a girl, but nevertheless, our responsibility is as a shepherd to shepherd my girls, to point them to Jesus Christ. That's my sole responsibility. The fact that I get to stand here and share his story and what he's doing through me with you is an incredible blessing for me. So I give praise to God Almighty. I thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you that nobody's gotten up and left, especially my wife. Believe me, I could go on and on and on, and I'm not going to do that, but there's one more passage that I want to draw you to, and this is in Hebrews. Hebrews 10:27. Is that up on the screen? Okay. I'm not going to turn around, because if I turn to my left, I'll fall over. It's pretty amazing. I often catch my wife on this side, and I say, are you making faces at me again? No, she doesn't do that. I am so blessed. I married up. This woman is such a godsend. The work that she has done for me, how she continues to balance the family and the girls and everything that I've got going on with me, and I pray for her constantly. God's great grace would continue to uphold her and sustain her. If you want to know about Linda, if you don't know Linda, read Proverbs 31. And there's a section in there which describes who she is. I call her my Proverbs 31 woman. But let's get back to Hebrews 10, 27. And folks, this is our destiny. You know, I learned a little bit ago that when you're talking to a group of mixed people, men and women, kind of hard to say, hey guys, I want you to turn here, because that's almost an offense to women. I don't want my name in the news for any reason. So, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27. And it reads this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, that's wrong. That's my left side. I'm looking chapter 10, verse 7. I'll use that as an excuse all day long, believe me. Okay, let's find chapter 10, 1-0, Michael. Okay, yes. No, not James. It's a great book, but Hebrews. We'll get to James, as a matter of fact, because I wanted to touch on that, especially James chapter 1. Yeah, right. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is about as prepared as I was. I actually had the little sticky notes in there, and didn't work. Hebrews chapter 10, I have it, verse 27. Pay close attention, and this is imperative for those who perhaps have never received Christ as of yet as personal Lord and Savior. You know, Jesus says in the Gospel of John, again, great chapter to read through it, if you want to know Jesus Christ personally. And again, it's one thing to know about him, but to know him personally, read the Gospel of John. It will tell you who he is the deity of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus says this in John 14, 6. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You know, one of the questions, if I'm on the street or talking to somebody about their faith, about that, what do you believe in? If you die tomorrow, where are you going? Oftentimes I'll get, I think I'm going to heaven. Well, why are you going to heaven? Well, because I'm a good person. I'm not killing anybody, and I give and I do all. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. Bible doesn't say just because you're a good person you go to heaven. No. Here's what the Bible teaches, and please pay attention to this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment comes. We, believers and non-believers, we will all stand before Almighty God and be accountable for the life that we have led. What will that look like for us? When you get home today or on your ride home, think about it. If I'm standing before God tomorrow, what would that look like? Are there things that I need to get on my knees and repent about? Are there things that I need to ask for forgiveness? I would submit that today's the acceptable day of doing that. Don't wait. He extends an open invitation because he loves us. And again, he loves us so much, we have been made in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. That is mind-blowing. He thinks that much enough about us. There's nothing that we could have done or said. There's nothing that we could think about that could draw us away from him. He is drawing us to him this morning. And if you even feel that little tug on your heart going on, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for that. Amen. Well, again, I want to thank you for the privilege of standing before you this morning. I hope that there are some words of encouragement. I want to have everybody stand, if you will, and just have, I guess, the musicians come back. I want to thank you again, certainly, for praying for me and for my family over these last couple of years, no doubt about, since 2013. But again, what a blessing it is to be here this morning. Look, there are two different perspectives on the Bible. You can take a high view of the Bible or a low view of the Bible. I want you to think about this, B-I-B-L-E. This isn't necessarily biblical. This is something that I heard from somebody else, so I'm plagiarizing it, but B-I-B-L-E, it stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Okay? And think about it. When you buy an automobile, you get an owner's manual, right? Refrigerator comes with an owner's manual. We don't. You know, a little baby pops out. It doesn't come with an owner's manual. Yes, it does. Here it is. The Word of God. This is God's owner's manual. And people will debate that for a lot of different reasons. Listen, intellectually, it's never an intellectual issue. It's always a heart issue, okay? Because that's where God speaks to us. I've never heard God audibly. In fact, Billy Graham was asked one day by a pastor named Mike McIntosh. He said he was walking with Billy Graham, they're close friends, and he said, Billy, has God ever spoken to you? Billy Graham. He said, you know what? One time, I think, I was out walking the dogs in his place in Asheville, North Carolina. He said, I may have heard his voice. I may have heard his voice. God doesn't audibly speak to me, but he presses things on my heart and puts people and places and circumstances in place that it's a clear sign and say, yes, Michael, this is for you. It's confirmation for what I want you to know. I have a dear friend of mine, Jessie, who I love with deep affection, and she texted me on my way out in November. She said, she's Scottish, and I love it. And I could even hear it in her text. I'm not going to do it justice, but she said, Michael, what is the Lord after you and during this time of testing? And he gave me that after about 4 or 5 weeks. And what he presented to me in my heart, what he's been after me is, when I'm home with my wife and with my girls, to be present. I'm very available. I'm in the house, but I have a home office and business, and so I can be in my office while my family's around, and I'm not with my family. But to be present is something very different. And one morning, I really got it when I was sitting at my desk, had my lamp on, my Bible open, I'm just reading in the Word. Kearley, our youngest, came and crawled up on my lap, had my arms around her, and I'm just loving that moment. And in that moment, I felt Jesus being so present with both of us. And I said, yes, Lord, I want to be present with my wife. I want to be present with my daughters. I want to be present with my mom, with my sister, with my grandchildren. I don't want to just be available. And brothers and sisters, I'm encouraging you as a source of encouragement. Be present with your spouses, with your children. Where there are things that we can impart to them that is so glorious beyond anything that this world could offer, beyond what we could ever hope for or imagine. Amen? Amen. So be present. So I love that. So that's what certainly one of the things that he's been pressing on my heart. Well, I mentioned about the two views of Scripture. You can take a high view. The high view says, I believe that the Bible is inspired by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, and that every word in the Bible is true. That's a high view. A low view of Scripture says, nah, you know what, it's a bunch of nice stories. I'll pick and choose what I want to read out of this. That's a low view of Scripture. That's a choice, that's a decision we get to make. I will tell you, as somebody stands before you, almost 65, being a child of God, of the Most High God, and in Christ for the last 21 years, loving what he's doing in my life. Stage 3 brain cancer does not define who I am. I'm not defined by that. My identity is in Jesus Christ. If you know him personally, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive him if you've never done that before. It's a simple prayer. It's the same prayer I prayed with nausea that before I came out. Simple prayer. The prayer will not save you. What saves you, again, is the intent of your heart. If you're tired of the hypocrisy and the phoniness, if you're tired of playing church, but you really want a relationship with Christ, you want him to come into your life, into your heart, and to guide you to be that good shepherd. What does a shepherd do? You know, Pastor Joe Foch was telling a story one time. I remember he and another pastor from New York, Bill Gallatin, were in Switzerland. They were coming down a mountain, and they met an actual shepherd with his flock of sheep. And they were in conversation. And the shepherd was talking to him. And they were asking him questions. And he says, oh, yes, he knew all of his sheep. They all had a name. And the scripture in John says that the sheep know my voice, right? His sheep knew his voice. He says, oh, Gertrude over there, if I yell at Gertrude, she won't look at me the rest of the day. They all had personalities. They all had individual names, and they all had individual personalities. We are exactly the same way. And our great shepherd, Jesus Christ, looks at us like that. I had a great vision of this came to me this summer at the beach. I was down, we were at Wildwood Crest. I had my chair down by the water's edge. Linda was back up here somewhere. And the girls, Emma and Kearley and Miriam, were playing in the water. And I'm half focusing on them, but I'm listening. There are sounds going. There are people in conversations. They're having discussion, whatever they're discussing. I'm hearing voices here. I'm hearing kids on the beach crying. I'm hearing them laughing, hearing water splashing. What was fascinating, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, as soon as my girls came out of the water and I heard them say, Daddy, I knew their voice. Immediately, I knew their voice. Among all the other voices on that beach in that area right there, I knew their voice. And they knew mine when I called out to them. And I love that picture that God gave me as the good shepherd. And he is. He is my good shepherd. And I'm telling you, I recite that, I can't tell you, at least 2 or 3 times a day. When I'm looking for something simple that I try to put my left leg in my pants and I'm falling over. It's this week, spiritual warfare, I'm sure. This week, I ended up in Doylestown Hospital twice. Tuesday night, kidney stones. Oof, not a great thing to endure. I have a high threshold of pain. Oh my goodness gracious, it brought me to my knees in a second. Kidney stones. But I will tell you, if you ever do, there's a product called Stone Breakers. I'm not advertising for them, but it's a product called Stone Breakers, which seems to be working as well. The second time, I was getting ready to take Kearley on Friday to a daddy-daughter dance. And Thursday was 5 years that we were blessed. We received her from an orphanage in Ecuador 5 years ago. That was her gotcha day. We had a daddy-daughter day that night, and I was dressed up in a suit. She had this beautiful dress on, and as I was getting ready to go, Linda noticed that I was listening to the left and that my walk was not stable. Something wasn't right. She said, something's not right. I think you should go to the hospital. And praise the Lord, we did. I went. And so that being said, here's what I'd like to do. While you're standing, you know, Jesus says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you're here today, and be honest with yourself, if you've never made that decision and invited Jesus Christ, say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. You can recite it out loud if you want. Repeat after me. You could say it simply to yourself. But again, it's not the prayer. It's the intent of your heart. But if you're intent on that, I want you to just remain standing. I'm going to lead you in a quick prayer. So pray with me if again, you want to receive Christ this morning. Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I am washed clean. You remember my sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, thank you for salvation. Thank you for eternal life. I welcome you into my life, Jesus. Be the Lord of my life. I invite you in now. Now and forever, I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, here's what I want to do. If you recited that prayer internally, if you just whispered it to yourself, or if you Remain standing. For the rest of you who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, please sit down. But if anybody recited that prayer, just please remain standing. So, okay? Let's give God some glory here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you. I would tell you how precious this is. This is one of my favorite cousins, Jennifer, who came up from Virginia. And so praise be to God. You know, I'm just a vocal mouthpiece that is going through some stuff that God wants us to go through. You know, I talked about the book of James chapter 1. It says, count it all joy, brothers, when you go through trials of various kinds, because it is the testing of your faith. My faith has been tested. And I suspect that it will continue to be tested. But I remain strong and confident in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you this morning for being here. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for this body of Christ. Amen. Yep.